This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bit of Bruce Chanel for you. Hey, baby. Good old Bruce Chanel. I wonder whatever happened to him. He made that song. It was a huge hit in the 60s. And then I never heard from him again. We never heard from him again. May he have been impeached, now that I think about it. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed Davis, my buddy and partner in crime here, we thank you for being with us on this Friday the 13th already. Wow. Spooky. Friday morning, December 13th. We got 12 days till Christmas, if my math is correct. Have you done all your shopping? Or are you like me? You haven't done any of it. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Gene Healy of the Cato Institute about the articles of impeachment on Donald Trump and whether or not this whole thing is history in the making or a complete joke. So stay tuned for that. And are there really enough Democrats in the House to carry a favorable impeachment vote over the line? We're going to talk about whether or not there's enough of them there to go wobbly so that they don't even get a majority for an impeachment, as well as what Senate Leader Mitch McConnell says about all of this, because he's got the baton over there in the Senate where they would hold the trial. And we'll do all of this with master barber and pole proprietor Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that. And Boris Johnson steamrolls to victory in Britain. Is he the mirror image of Donald Trump over there? He even looks like him with the hair and everything. We're going to talk about that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we got a good one. This is Friday the 13th, right? The top 10 most disturbing movies of all time. I think Ed has seen every one of them, and I believe he directed three of them. So we're going to find out what those movies are. I think we're doing house cleaning over here. I can hear it. That's all right. We got to clean this place up, right? Especially when I'm here. All right, and we also want to mention that Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best place to get your Christmas haircut in Tampa Bay. Great rates, great guy, beautiful ambiance. It's located in Dunedin, State Road 580, and Alder Cache Road. It's actually just north of 580 in the Alder Cache Plaza. I said Alder Cache. Why am I saying that? Overcash. Let's start that again. It's Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 in Dunedin. And finally, you can go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, so that you can find out more about the show. And also, Ed sets up all our shows on our podcast button. Hit the button, and you'll be able to choose the show you want to listen to. You'll know who the guest is, and even the top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so it's all things impeachment right now. I guess if you were listening to talk radio anywhere in this country, you would be talking and listening to impeachment. It is scaring and boring a lot of people to death. They went, I think, until the 3 or 4 in the morning trying to define the articles of impeachment. And they're still talking about it right now. I'm looking at the television set. I wonder if these guys have been up all night. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. It's getting now to the point where they're going to make the vote. And the question is whether or not they've even got enough Democrats that won't go wobbly on them to carry it across the line. Well, we're going to talk about all of that with Gene Healy, who, by the way, specializes in the role of the presidency as well as federalism. So he's just exactly the right guy to talk with. In the meantime, Boris Johnson, is he not in some ways the mirror image of Donald Trump? I'm beginning to wonder if they have the same birth mother. Johnson vowed this morning to get Brexit done by the end of January with no ifs, no buts, no maybes. They had a landslide victory in the general election in Britain. The Tories, of which he is the head, won 364 seats in the 650-seat chamber. So that's big time. In fact, they haven't seen such a drubbing to the Labour Party since 1930. Now, he's going to be working very hard to get this Brexit situation done. He's been running on that. That's why he was re-elected in such a landslide. He says, in this election, your voices have been heard. It's about time, because we politicians have squandered this past 3 years in squabbles about Brexit. He says, I'll put an end to all of that nonsense, and we'll get Brexit done on time by the 31st of January. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. So does sound a little bit like Donald Trump. They get along very well. Trump called and congratulated him. So he might be the second coming of Margaret Thatcher also. If you remember Margaret Thatcher, those of you that are old enough, who was Reagan's contemporary in England, and they got along strikingly well. Okay, we're going to take our break. I cannot wait to talk with Gene Healy of the Cato Institute.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday the 13th. And I guess the date is appropriate considering what's going on in Congress right now and this voting on impeachment articles. We're delighted to have Gene Healy, a vice president of the Cato Institute, whose research interests include things like executive power and the role of the presidency, as well as federalism and over-criminalization. Gene, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, I know you're a very busy guy this morning, and we do appreciate your time. Let me just ask you, maybe this is a nutty question at this point, but is this impeachment effort worth all of the heartache, I would tell you, that this country is going through and the bruising to the psyche of our country, is it worth it?
I don't see why we should be so angsty about impeachment, really. The framers of our Constitution weren't. I mean, they didn't want them to become as frequent as, say, government shutdowns are now. But they, Benjamin Franklin thought the impeachment was favorable to the executive. You know, it gave him a chance to, to get rid of him if he did badly, and for him to be honorably acquitted if he was unjustly accused. You know, this was an essential check, and I think what they'd be surprised about is that we. 230 plus years of our constitutional history, this is only the fourth time we've ever made a serious run at a president through the impeachment process. I just don't think it's that fraught. We went through 20 years ago. People said a lot of the same things about the Clinton impeachment, and the stock market hit record highs, and people were entertained, and it doesn't seem to me that any long-term damage was done to the country.
You wrote an article about a month or so ago about, at that time, Donald Trump's attitude towards subpoenas, I think. You said if he wants to become the third American president to earn the ignominious distinction of impeachment, if this is a great way of going about it. In other words, trying to kind of get past responding to, at that time, I guess, the House Intelligence Committee's request.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said something that I took note of here. This categorical stonewall that Trump just announced is clearly an impeachable offense. Now, can you not go to court? Can you not go to court and say, Your Honor, I don't think that this subpoena is fair? Doesn't he have that right?
Yeah, he can go to court, but Congress also has a right to impeach him. To impeach him for it. This is the third article of impeachment that the House Judiciary Committee voted out against Richard Nixon, who also went to court in 1974. And what Nixon got near impeached, he quit before the full House could vote, but. That third article, what it was based on, was less flagrant than what Trump is doing. Trump has said, consistent with Justice Department policy, he cannot be criminally indicted. He cannot be prosecuted while he's in office. And he's reserving to him so that the check is impeachment, and he's reserving to himself the right to forbid every advisor and former advisor from giving any kind of evidence before an impeachment inquiry, even in areas where there's no plausible claim of executive privilege.
But it does seem like he has the right to go to court to find out if what he believes in would be upheld. That's why we have three branches, and we don't have one branch that stomps over another one. Doesn't he get his day, as they say, in court before it's...
Congress doesn't have to wait for that. They didn't wait for it. They were framing this article of impeachment against Nixon before the Supreme Court ruled against Nixon on the Watergate tapes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's pretty flagrant to say that, he's sort of in the position here with regard to congressional subpoenas of, like, the guy who murdered his parents and threw himself on the mercy of the court as an orphan, because a lot of the argument over impeachment has been that the Democrats don't have any witnesses that besides Sondland, who spoke directly with the president. Well, there's a good reason for that. He's told Mulvaney, Bolton, and others with such direct, and Pompeo, such direct knowledge, that they can't testify. Not just that they can't show up and make a claim of executive privilege with regard to certain lines of questioning, but he's tried to shut down the thing entirely. Richard Nixon did not do that. Richard Nixon, complied with court orders for tapes. He tried to release transcripts and summaries, but what Nixon was impeached for was not a categorical blockade against the executive branch giving any information to Congress.
By the way, as we were talking, the House panel has just passed articles of impeachment against Donald Trump by a vote of 23 to 17, which means the Judiciary Committee voted in lockstep with their party. 23 Democrats voted for it, 17 Republicans voted against it. I don't mean to stay on this too much, Gene, but still, if somebody is subpoenaed and they say, we want, you know, Joe Smith to testify, and he's in your administration, and you say, well, I want to declare executive privilege, and so why don't we go to court and let a judge decide whether or not my executive privilege would hold up? Why is that impeachable?
It's impeachable because it's a full blockade on Congress's power to investigate is nowhere stronger than in an impeachment.
But they don't
inquiry.
Have a blanket investigation authority, and that's why we have a third branch.
Executive privilege is not in the Constitution. Executive privilege is a judge-made doctrine that was not even recognized until United States versus Nixon, when the Supreme Court, by 8-0, said that Nixon did not have an executive privilege claim over the Watergate tapes.
Yeah, but the court...
And this notion that we have co-equal branches is kind of a misnomer. Congress is, at least in terms of constitutional power, is the superior branch. The president cannot remove members of Congress, unless they're criminally prosecuted. The Congress can remove the president. And I would agree that, if you were talking about a criminal prosecution of any individual, executive branch official, or otherwise for litigating a subpoena, that would be one thing. We're not talking about that. Impeachment's not a criminal process. It doesn't end in imprisonment or loss of liberty for the president. All it does is put him out of a job. And I think we make a big mistake by talking about this as if it's the death penalty for the president, as Nikki Haley said a couple weeks ago. It's not. It's the same thing that Donald Trump used to do on the reality TV show that made him nationally famous.
Oh, yes, that's
right. It merely says, you're fired.
Can you see? I can just see Adam Schiff standing up after
this. You're fired.
You're fired.
Oh, God.
Okay, but, still... and somebody said impeachment is whatever the House of Representatives wants it to be.
So yeah, that was Gerald Ford. I don't agree with that.
I don't know. I'm beginning to believe he's right.
No, well, so the way I look at that is, the Constitution doesn't say a majority of the House and a supermajority of the Senate can impeach or remove the president. It says... treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So there's a constitutional standard. If the House impeached Donald Trump for, eating well-done steak with ketchup or tying his tie too long, that they might be able to get away with that. In other words, the Supreme Court's unlikely to overturn an impeachment on the merits, but it seems to me that would be an abuse of power because... by no stretch of the imagination does something like that constitute an impeachable offense.
Yeah.
I think that's the Gerald Ford quote. In some ways, as a practical matter, that's true. But as a constitutional matter, it's not. And also, the charges do matter because if they kind of saw this when they impeached Andrew Johnson and couldn't convict him. If you have charges that are pretty far from the core of impeachment, you're unlikely to get much support for them, and the impeachment may, in the end, ultimately not result in removal.
Well, Gina, we promised we'd get you out of here so that you could do some more work, and I want to thank you so very much. I hope you and I can discuss things like this again, because I really appreciated and enjoyed listening to you. Thank you.
That'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Gene Healy of the Cato Institute has an interesting perspective, does he not? All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, I believe, I hope, if he's still there, we're going to be talking with the proprietor of the greatest pole of all time, the barber pole.
Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back on a very strange Friday. This is just a strange day. As we were talking with our guest just a few minutes ago, Gene Healy, the House officially, their Judiciary Committee officially adopted two articles of impeachment against President Trump. The vote was 23 to 17. It went strictly along party lines, 23 Democrats, 17 Republicans. And so now we are going to apparently send this on to Nancy Pelosi and the full House, and they're going to decide whether or not next week to vote yes or no. And there are some wobbly Democrats. There are 31 districts where Democrats are very vulnerable to losing. And that is many more votes that are necessary to impeach Donald Trump. So with all of that being said, let's bring in the master barber, who is the proprietor of the most important poll, the one that really counts, the barber poll. Andrew, they just voted these articles of impeachment. Does this make you feel giddy?
Not at all, Paul. It's, you know, this is where we wind up the head. Let them go and take their full House vote. And you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And so next week, the very befuddled Nancy Pelosi will get up there and try to orchestrate this thing through. And yet there are... here's the deal. The House is composed of 431 current members. It means that Democrats would need one half plus one, 217 votes to impeach Trump. Now, that means They need 217. There are currently 233 Democrats. That means if they lose 17, they don't impeach them. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, like you said, there's 31 of them that could be losing their job. They're going to think about the twice, Paul. But, you know, I still think they might do it. And if they do, God bless them. Let it go. Let it get to the Senate. You already heard what Mr. McConnell had to say. It's
yes.
not going anywhere.
And
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. they're just wasting time and money, making Trump stronger every day. Meanwhile, you know, they're tearing apart the IG reports and making them look bad, aren't they?
I think they are. Yeah.
They are. I mean, they took that thing, and right away when Comey seen the IG report, look at it, I'm exonerated from this. It doesn't say nothing. Horowitz came right out and said it doesn't exonerate anybody.
That's right. He did.
You know what I mean? And they're going to go down with this. It's just the beginning. It's the tip of the hat, and this has all got to explode. It's got to come to an end. And you know what? Now, I was just reading again this morning. Remember when I was talking with you last week when I said if a president gets impeached in the first term, okay, that they can null and void that first term, and he can run for two more terms. Well, it's a fact. I looked it up, and then it was on the computer again this morning. The Senate can bring this up with the Supreme Court, and they can make him go another term.
Do you know what? There'd be a bunch of Democrats jumping off the Grand Canyon.
Well, Paul, I don't understand why they don't know that.
I've never heard of that.
I didn't either until a few people pointed it out and I researched it.
Now, let me make sure I understand this. If he gets elected the first time and then he's impeached.
Impeached in his first term.
And then he has to be convicted, correct?
Then they go, he has to be convicted. He has to be acquitted by the Senate.
Okay, so he's acquitted by the Senate. So what does that mean?
Acquitted by the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay, which means he was found not guilty of anything.
Right.
So the Supreme Court can actually let him finish out the first term. They null and void that term and run for two more terms.
Wait a second. Wait. No.
Trump can have seven more years.
No. Because an impeachment and an acquittal means that his term continues. It doesn't stop. It never has stopped.
No, his term will not stop.
His term is...
It's still there.
So he can,
but he can go two more terms.
No, he can't.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to get
the articles of where it's written.
I know. Somebody may have said that. But
they can point it right out.
But think about it this way. He completes his first term.
Right.
Just because somebody tries to impeach and convict him and is unsuccessful has nothing to do with whether or not he gets a free pass on the first term.
I'm going to get the articles for you so you can look it up.
I believe somebody said it, but I can tell
you.
It's not true.
All drawn up.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right, sir.
Anyway,
yes,
this impeachment isn't going to go anywhere.
Have you been taking any of this pre-surgery medication that's making your brain go a little fuzzy?
I had to take a couple of them just to be able to walk. You don't understand.
I do understand.
But this isn't going nowhere.
No.
And they're just rallying the people up. You know, the moderates, not the moderates.
The nutballs.
The independents.
Oh, the independents, yes.
The independents, they're swarmed.
The independents are going to make the difference. The independents will make the difference.
And the blacks are making a difference, too. They're saying that Trump is up at 37 percentage points on the blacks. Okay.
You know who's also making a difference? Mitch McConnell went on Fox News last night. He said this.
Yep.
He said this. The case is so damn weak, or darn weak, coming from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There is no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
That's right.
He says,
No question about it.
He says, we have no choice, though, but to take it up. In other words, remember you and I were talking a little bit about whether or not he'd even bring it up for a vote.
Right.
And he wants to bring it up for a vote, because if we did not bring it up for a vote in the Senate, there will always be that lingering question of whether or not the Senate blocked the free expression of a vote.
But you know what's getting me upset is Mitch McConnell, he's talking about doing it with no witnesses involved, okay? Where if they're going to hold this trial, I believe they should be able to subpoena witnesses. Why would you acquit him if you're going to have the trial? You should bring in the witnesses.
I think that's a very good point. Yes. In fact, the other day we had a guy on, and I brought up the fact that why wouldn't the Republicans want to call witnesses, as an example, the whistleblower, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. And he said they're not going to, they don't call witnesses, as if it was already a rule. And,
right.
And I didn't really believe that. You can indeed call witnesses. You can.
Right.
Your attorneys can call
witnesses.
And, well, that's the question of whether or not by calling those witnesses, as an I'm just taking devil's advocate here. I'm taking devil's advocate. Because Lindsey Graham also does not feel, and he's a big Trump supporter, Republican.
Well, you know, they say, he doesn't too, that feel Lindsey Graham might have some ghosts that he doesn't want brought up either.
Well, we all have ghosts.
Right.
They all have.
Right.
There isn't
right.
one of them.
But I think by bringing witnesses in will clarify a lot with the people of what went on.
I tend to agree with you, but here's the deal. I'm just telling, I think what the other side that does not want witnesses is thinking, is that if you bring these people in, even though, like Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, if you start trashing them on live TV, you can get a sympathy vote. You got to be very careful about trashing the whistleblower, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. In other words, it could boomerang, and that's... And if you've got a strong, if you're going to acquit him anyway, if you're going to acquit him anyway, why not do it quickly? Get it over with and not have it lingering in the minds of the public.
Well, because a lot of the public might sit there and say, well, they were able to do this right away because they got the majority. So who knows what really happened?
I see.
You know, you don't know.
I kind of
But
agree.
I mean, I would like to tear them apart. And I think that 3/4 of the public would like to see these people torn apart. I mean, if there's corruption and Biden's made these millions, people want to know about it. And
you
I don't think it'll give them a sympathy vote.
Now, wait a second. Wait a second. Do you mean to tell me that if Hunter Biden was sitting in a chair, let's say on the floor of wherever they hold this, I guess the major building, and he was being lambasted by some Republican attorney, the tears would not well up in your eyes?
You got to be kidding me.
I am.
You got to be kidding me. What are you taking? You must have found my prescription bottle.
I did. And I'll tell you what, I've never felt better. No, I mean, so we would enjoy, many of us would enjoy the theater of all of this. Let's be honest.
Of course.
Let's be honest. It's a public spectacle, and
that's right.
It will.
If you're going to do it right.
I know, and I do. I would like to see the whistleblower. We've identified him already, and the more I've read about it, the more I am convinced that this guy Eric Sciaramella is the guy. He's a clear, 100% anti-Trump Democrat.
That's right, and you know Schiff pushed him into doing it too.
Right.
I guarantee you that two are in cahoots, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Bring this out in public. Put that moron up on the stand.
Can I jump to another, I think, very interesting point here? Boris Johnson. Do you think, I want to know what you think about Boris Johnson, who just won re-election in Britain.
I don't know what to think about him, to be honest.
I mean, is he?
I lost faith in the British a long time
ago. Oh, you
ago.
Did? Okay. Well, he's...
So I try not to pay too much attention to, but this guy, Boris Johnson, seems to got him riled up pretty well.
He won a landslide victory.
Yeah.
You know, he's big on getting out of the
Brexit,
European Union.
Yes, Brexit.
And you know, he's a big fan of Donald Trump's.
Yeah, well, they wore the same hairdo almost.
They wore the same hairdo, and they look very, very, very similar.
It could be distant cousins.
I'm thinking that they might have the same birth mother, but I can't prove it.
I agree with you.
I can't prove it.
But, you know, it's like, you know, Paul was making me laugh now. Look at these people in Hong Kong. They're sitting there raising the American flag, singing the national anthem. They want their freedom there. And look at our millennials here. They're holding up the communist flag. They want socialism and communism. What's the deal?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see that the Time Person of the Year is that little girl?
Oh, I told you. Greta Global there, whatever her name
is. Yes.
I told you that the other day.
How does she rate becoming the Person of the Year when a lot of people said, why don't you make those Hong Kong protesters the Person
of
the Year?
Well, they would never do that. Because Time Magazine has just gone total nuts. Total
nuts. They've been that way since the 30s and 20s. They've been so...
There you go.
They have been under the loose... Not to get too deep into it. Under the Luce family, L-U-C-E. They've been very liberal.
Yeah.
Going back into the 20s and 30s. Yeah.
There you go. So, there's your answer.
So one other thing, and lost in all of this hoopla about impeachment, the federal government collected a record amount of tax revenue, a record amount of $470 billion in October and November. Those are the first 2 months of fiscal year 2020. Now, if we lowered taxes as Trump did, and the Republicans lowered taxes on across the board, and yet we brought in more money, which has always been my point, that if you allow people to keep more of their money, they spend more of their money. And when they spend more of their money, the government ends up collecting more tax money. That was the Reagan mantra. And everybody's...
Now, Paul, did that total include the new tariffs and stuff that Trump put on things? Because I was reading something about that.
Well, it might be. Let's see here if it says anything about that. I think it's pretty much just the amount of money
taken in by the people.
Taken in by from the citizens of the U.S., collected in taxes in the first 2 months of fiscal year 2020. It was up $2.6 billion from a year ago. So they've collected more money with lower taxes. That was my point. They have collected.
Oh, that's it. Well, they got more money to spend, like you said. They spend the money, they buy things, they tax it anyway, so they're making out.
Yeah, but
everybody's happy. It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win, and when people like Elizabeth Warren say, you know, we got to raise taxes on the rich, they end up not collecting as much money as when you lower taxes and allow people to. When you spend money, this has always been my thing, when you spend money, you're actually keeping somebody employed or hiring somebody. You go into a restaurant, right, and you buy a steak dinner with your wife, you're keeping those people employed. You go into a retail store, you go to a grocery store, you go anywhere. If you even invest your money in the stock market, are you not keeping people employed? You are. So that's my point. And if you keep them employed, they pay taxes.
Oh, that just goes to show you. Look at Trump's employment rate, right?
Yeah.
Unemployment's to what, 3.2?
Oh, it's great.
It hasn't been that low since what, 1960? Who knows? But, people are unemployed. They've got money. They're spending money. Makes sense.
And finally, I got to bring up one more thing before I let you go. Oh, by the way, are you how are you feeling?
Like a 90-year-old man. But other than that, okay.
Oh, jeez. May I ask, is it okay to ask you publicly, is your surgery for next week or this week?
Tuesday. Tuesday
of next week. Okay.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
We'll be reporting live Wednesday from the hospital.
I was going to say...
Boy, you are an amazing man. Go ahead, Ed.
Paul, did you get your notice in the mail?
About what?
I just got this yesterday. It says all next week at Andrew's Master Barbershop. Come in for a haircut. Free catered food, free drinks, and live music.
Mm.
Two hot chicks studying hair.
Oh, well, hey.
I'm going to be gone. I can only imagine what's going to happen.
May I reserve my chair now, please?
Dad's out of town. Dad's out of town. Candy's throwing a party.
Yep, I believe
they're going to go wild without you there to monitor things. You got to get back and
well, you know what? The big kahuna might be there. You know, my wife says she might have to come in to keep an eye on these.
She'll
be the one leading them to do other things, I believe.
Oh, she will. I was going to say, I thought she might be more of a taskmaster than you are. No?
I don't know.
Okay.
She's tough.
Okay, I got to get to one more thing. I think Donald Trump is on to something. You know how little he sleeps, right?
Yes. I don't know what he's using.
I mean, I don't either. But here's something. Long naps may cause a stroke. Did you know that? The longer you take naps, naps are good in short bursts, according to this survey. But if you take too long of a nap, it actually works. Yes. It actually works against you. They analyzed over 30,000 Chinese people and discovered that anybody who took a regular 90-minute plus nap, 25% more likely to have a stroke.
It's so amazing.
I wanted to warn you, Andrew. I know you fall asleep in your own barber chair from time to time. Don't.
I do a lot all the time.
So don't do it too long, because I don't want you to have a problem.
When I'm not working, I go take a 2 to 4 nap. What are you kidding me?
Well, you
it's
always
the greatest
sound so,
thing in the world.
Yeah, you sound so doggone energetic. So whatever you're doing, keep it up.
That's right. That two-hour nap.
That sounds good to me.
That and a lot of Fox News. It keeps your blood pressure up.
It does. Andrew, bless you. Thank you so much. And we get to talk with you on Monday, and then right after surgery on Wednesday.
You got it, buddy.
All right,
you
my
take
friend.
Take care. I'll talk to you later.
All right, my friend. Bye bye. There he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. You know, he does. He has as much energy as Donald Trump. We're going to take our final break. And among other things, the top 10 most disturbing movies of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday the 13th. I've never had a bad... it's not been anything different than any other day. Ed, have you ever noticed that on a Friday the 13th that things don't work as well for you? Or is it the same with you? You don't...
No, that's every day.
Well, it's the same with me. So, in other words, it doesn't change anything.
No, just the people that bring it up.
Yeah.
The people that are... I actually have some friends that are very, very into that.
Superstitious?
Very superstitious.
Yeah. I wonder how...
Some don't leave the house.
You know, that's true. There are some people, you're right about that. I wonder how the whole thing got started. I don't know. I just wonder. We all have to look that up. How did Friday the 13th...
Well, you know what? When that Jason movie came out, the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, but that was
Well, that was the mid 80s, I think, right around 84, 83, maybe.
Yeah,
that's I think when it really ramped up.
You think so?
It
goes big time way back.
They made like 12 movies out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder if one of those movies is on the most disturbing movies list.
Could be.
Okay. Let's change gears for just a second because we have a little bit of time here. A couple of bad things are happening. Well, there's good things and bad things with our Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. First of all, they're going to be at Detroit, and they're favored.
Yeah.
At Detroit. But they lost their best wide receiver, did they not?
Yeah, Mike Evans last week.
And he's gone for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, most likely.
And they got three games left.
Yes.
So they've won three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameis Winston, for all of the things, and we've knocked him quite a bit. We've knocked him ever since they drafted him on our show. You, as soon as you think he's not doing a good job, he throws a beautiful pass.
So, and for every beautiful one, there's three or four really bad ones. The one that Mike Evans pulled his hamstring on was a deep out that was like 50 some odd, maybe 60 yards or whatever it was. And you thought, wow, that's beautiful. And then he missed a couple of guys by 10 yards after that.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? That's why I wonder. It's not talent. There's something that's going on in his head. Sometimes it seems like he'll throw right to the wrong guy. I mean, directly to him.
Well, look, once again, his first pass of the game last week threw an interception. And I listened to Bruce Arians, the head coach. I listened to his radio show. And he kept making, it's like a proud father that was trying to make excuses for his son. He kept saying, well, on that one, Mike Evans shorted his route. Really? On that one, so-and-so didn't turn upfield the right way.
Yeah.
You know, he kept making excuses. Now James has got a fractured thumb.
Yeah, that brings up the other question. Is he going to be playing in this
game?
They
have him listed as playing. What I'm afraid of is he goes and stinks the joint up, and he's going to blame it on his thumb. But, I mean, Detroit is really bad. So they got to let him play, and he still has to play, I hate to say it, better than okay to get a contract next year. But I just still think that it's going to come down to, because everybody's been saying, what do you think he's going to be worth? What do you think he's going to be worth next year? Yeah, I think the bigger issue is, what does he think he's worth? They could be way apart. You know, him and his agent come and say, listen, again, he's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his life. You know, and you've got a franchise quarterback. He's not a franchise. Franchise quarterbacks demand between $20 and $28 million a year. He's not worth that. He's worth maybe 15, and not a five-year deal, maybe a three-year deal, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Bucs are not going to make the playoffs. I think they've been officially eliminated.
Yes.
However, if you were going to be the head drafter for the Bucs come the next draft, and you had a great wide receivers, and you had some very good quarterbacks, and you had some very good defensive people, what position do you think you would first go to fill?
I would like to see them address both the offensive line and probably running back. I think the defensive line is pretty well set, you know. And the linebacking situation seems to be okay and getting better. And they drafted a lot of defensive backs this year or last year. So those have to pan out. So I would like to see them. And they're going to be picking 15 or 16, probably somewhere around there. Going to have to do a lot of research and find the best gem in that crop. It might come down to the best player available at that point.
So I don't hear the word quarterback in there. By the time the 15th or 16th pick comes along,
the three good quarterbacks, Tua from Alabama, and Herbert from, was it Oregon or somebody out there, and then the kid from LSU, they're going to be gone.
They'll be gone before.
Probably within the top eight, they'll be gone. Now, the only way to get there is make a blockbuster trade. But then if you do that, you have to cut ties with Jameis. You absolutely have to.
Do you think the Bucs should try to lose their last three games so that they get a better draft pick?
No. At this point, right now, if they tank, they'd move maybe a few slots down, they still wouldn't be within the top 10. They wouldn't be under that. They'd still be picking 11, 12, somewhere on there.
So if you were running the Bucs, you're pretty much telling me that you're going to stay with Jameis Winston for next year.
If I am, I would not. No, I would
you
move
would
on. I would move on. I think you.
Well, then where are you going to get your?
I'm going to throw this out. Okay, I put this out there. There's the guy in Cincinnati, Andy Dalton, redheaded kid. Okay, he's worn out his welcome there, whatever. They're moving on. He is 31 years old. He's in the prime of his life, and he's a game manager. He's not a superstar. He's a game manager. And that's what Jameis can't realize, that that's what he needs to be, a game manager. He's not a superstar. So I think Andy Dalton from Cincinnati would be a perfect fit here.
Really?
Yep.
So he doesn't have the so-called natural ability.
No. We won a Super Bowl.
He can survey the field and say, I know what we should be doing.
We won a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson. You know, Don't say Trent Dilfer, because Trent Dilfer went to Baltimore and was cut 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. So Trent Dilfer wasn't a game manager. Brad Johnson was a game manager. That's what they
That's
need.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh? Okay, yeah. We'll keep that in mind. Well, thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. Now you can go over for the, saying all that. Go over to the drums, please. We have the 10 most disturbing movies. This comes from Upbeat News. And I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of these movies at all. I'm going to ask you after each one if you know about them. Top 10 most disturbing movies. Number 10. Videodrome.
No.
Okay. It was a body horror movie resembling a cross between The Thing and Blade Runner. Do you remember those two movies?
Yeah.
Okay. Videodrome. Number 9. Akira. A-K-I-R-A.
Nope.
Animated Japanese psychological film full of body horror.
Okay.
Number 8. A Clockwork Orange.
Nope.
Oh, I remember that movie. Mm. That was a weird movie. It was disturbing. 1971 Stanley Kubrick film set in futuristic England. Okay. Number 7. Jacob's Ladder.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. I would have said the same thing. 1990 psychological thriller in which a soldier returns from Afghanistan in a twisted, paranoid state. Mm. Now, I'm not saying these are the greatest horror movies. We said most disturbing movies. Okay. So they're all psychological.
Okay.
Number 6, Eraserhead.
Uh-uh.
1977 movie with an experimental body head. It was directed by a pretty well-known director at the time, David Lynch. Eraserhead. Okay, number 5. I know you know this one. Alien.
Yeah, all the aliens.
Yeah.
There were like three or four.
This is the original.
Okay.
1979 movie, Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
One of the scariest monsters of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 4. Rubber.
No.
I never heard of it either. A Bloodthirsty Tire. I mean, this has got to be a comedy in a way. A Bloodthirsty Tire has a crush on a woman.
Okay.
It says here, both weird and disturbing. It's just, how about adding ridiculous to that?
Yeah.
Number 3, House. It's actually a Japanese cult classic from 1977. It's half live and half cartoon, half animated, and it's got comedy and horror with amateur actors involved in it.
Mm.
There you go. Number 2. Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
1968. Visceral, foreboding, depressing birth of the devil by Mia Farrow. That was, I knew somebody that said it was so disturbing, and she was pregnant at the time.
And you never saw the devil?
They saw kind of a shadowy look
the
to
babe,
it. Well, you're right.
The baby. The baby
that's
was
correct.
Just, yeah.
But it was, and that was part of the, I think that was part of the greatness of the movie.
Yeah.
You didn't have any of that.
Now, didn't that spawn Damien?
I think it spawned a whole host
that movie,
of them.
The
Exorcist.
No,
and the
not
whole,
Exorcist. It was the other one where he was Damien.
Yeah, The Omen.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it spawned a whole genre of classics. Mia Farrow was the pregnant wife in that one. All right. You're not going to know what the... Well, you might know what it is.
I'm going to say Silence of the Lambs. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good guess. All right. Get Out.
Get Out.
You ever hear of Get Out? Jordan Peele mixed social commentary with traditional horror.
What year was that?
You know, I don't have the year.
I think that was like 2-3 years ago. It was awful.
Was it?
Oh, it was awful.
So you saw it.
It was awful.
then it's got an appropriate name. If you're sitting down watching it, get out.
And turn it off.
And turn it off, for goodness sake. All right, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back Monday, and always remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZH